feeling most people around you are just looking for something, searching, looking, but not just something, but actually searching for one specific thing, searching for a purpose, looking for the meaning of life. I feel like you're surrounded by people who are just looking, lost, wandering, searching. And despite the fact that there are a lot of people around us, and many of them searching for the purpose of life, there's not a whole lot of agreement. In everybody's favorite practice, just Google these words, the purpose of life. And you'll get all sorts of inspirational, heartfelt quotes put on backgrounds of sunsets and waterfalls with lines like these. The purpose of life is peace, because only a peaceful mind and heart can be full of love and compassion. Or the purpose of life is to maximize our time. Purpose of life is to find your gift and then share your gift with others. Purpose of life is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experiences. Purpose can guide life decisions, influence behavior, shape goals, offer a sense of direction, and create meaning. For some people, purpose is connected to vocation, meaningful, satisfying work. For others, their purpose lies in their responsibilities to their family or friends. Purpose of life is to find something to live for. We get to create our own purpose. Or I love these two. First, you have the Dalai Lama saying, the purpose of our lives is to be happy. And then you have Ralph Waldo Emerson saying, the purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you lived and lived well. Or then you just have those trying to make you feel good. Your life has purpose. Your story is important. Your dreams count. Your voice matters. You were born to make an impact. Purpose of life is not about being rich, being popular, being highly educated, or being perfect. It's about being real, being humble, being able to share ourselves and touch the lives of others. The meaning of life is just to be alive. It is so plain and so obvious and so simple, and yet everybody rushes around in a great panic, as if it were necessary to achieve something beyond themselves. Or finally, and most inquisitively, the purpose of life is to live a life of purpose. Well, thanks for nothing. And maybe this speaks really to the difficulty of the search. So many searching and so few agree on the answer. What is the meaning of life? Where can we find purpose? It's clearly one of the greatest, if not the single greatest question for mankind, and always has been. Why? Because we want to know that our time, our energy, our actions actually matter. Because if you don't know what the purpose of life is, you're setting yourself up for the potential waste of your entire life, of all of your time. It's by having a purpose and meaning in life that we can know what we should spend our time doing and what is simply a waste of time. We need to know the purpose of life, and yet, if you pull 1,000 people, it seems you get at least 100 different answers. So maybe what we actually learn from all of this is a different lesson, a lesson that's so popular to learn today. From all these people seeking the purpose of life in different ways, perhaps it is actually, as the Dalai Lama has said, people take different roads. Seeking fulfillment and happiness, just because they're not on your road doesn't mean they've gotten lost. Or, as a famous TV writer, Barbara Hall, put it, the path to our destination is not always a straight one. We go down the wrong road. We get lost. We turn back. Maybe it doesn't matter which road we embark on. Maybe what matters is just that we embark. Perhaps there is no particular purpose, just a need to be moving, embark, strive after something, and eventually you'll find your own purpose and meaning. Should come as no surprise that the Bible, of course, weighs in on this topic too. It has quite a bit to say about the purpose and meaning of life. What's interesting, though, is we often go to the Bible in order to find sort of the answer. It's like the answer key right in the back of the math book, right? That part that James probably rips out of every math book so his students can't just flip to the back and look at the answers. Right? We usually look at it for the answer key, but in this book, the book that we're going to start studying today, a book of wisdom, a book that primarily addresses just this question, this single issue of what is the meaning of life, the author doesn't give the answer at the start. In fact, he begins where all of these people begin, on his own journey. He tells us of his own search for meaning and purpose in his life, and he's going to test these theories. He's going to test all these ideas. He's going to test the idea that there is no wrong answer, that there's no meaning, you just create it. Or that perhaps there are no wrong paths, and there are many purposes to fulfill your life. Or the important thing is that you just embark, and that you're traveling down the road, and meaning will eventually come to you. And so the author of Ecclesiastes travels down several roads, searching for meaning. And the author was also the king of Jerusalem, and therefore was in a unique position to be able to pursue each of these roads, these paths, towards finding a purpose and meaning in life. And let's see how they did for him. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. If you're just joining us this morning and you're using your phone, we use the ESV. If you'd like to be in the same translation as us, that can be helpful. ESV. So here is King Solomon. It opens with the words of the preacher. Interestingly, this is the words of Koheleth, is what it says in Hebrew, and it literally means one who speaks to an assembly. So really, as every great preacher does, I'm just preaching a different preacher's sermon this morning. Right? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And as he searches, looking for meaning in this life, he begins with these words, Hebel Hebelim, says the preacher. Hebel Hebelim, all is Hebel. In the Hebrew? In the English, vanity of vanities. Says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now that sure doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. Look, if you're an author and you're a salesman, you need some work. You're not going to sell a lot of books beginning this way. Not unless your target is, I don't know, angsty emo teenagers. I'm guessing Solomon's opening to Ecclesiastes isn't making it on K-Love. It's not exactly the positive and encouraging message that you want. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and this is where Solomon begins. But of course, we need to understand this comment. What does he mean by vanity? An interesting Hebrew word here, hebel. It's used 62 times in the entire Old Testament, 30 of them in Ecclesiastes. Right, to put this into perspective, this is a book with just 12 chapters, and out of 1,189 chapters total in Scripture, 30 of the 62 uses appear here in Ecclesiastes. It is the key word of this entire book. And it's sort of an ambiguous word. It's a thing with using a word like vanity, as vanity in English is sort of an ambiguous word. It's got some different meanings. Hebel, at its very core meaning, its very concrete meaning, means something like mist or breath. It gives the idea of something that vanishes. It is like breath on the mirror, or like, say, a bubble on the wind. You try to catch it, and it's gone. Right, you've seen a kid play with bubbles, and it's so fun to watch them. You see these bubbles in the air, and they try to catch them, and maybe the first time they play with bubbles, and they try to catch it, and they look in their hand, and there's nothing. It's just gone. That's why here when the word vanity is used in English, you should have this idea of vanity, a word that has several meanings, this idea of empty. Emptiness. Even so, this word hebel, while meaning sort of breath-like or mist or vaporous, it's used several different ways with a couple different shades of meaning, even in Ecclesiastes. At one point in time, the author of Ecclesiastes says, life is hebel. Man's youth and the dawn of life are hebel in the idea of fleeting. Hebel is fleeting. Life is fleeting. In Ecclesiastes 6:12, he says, this vain life because his days are few and he passes like a shadow. The life is fleeting. It moves so quickly. It is here and gone the next moment. At other times, he uses hebel to mean perplexing. It you can't grasp it. You can't grasp the meaning. You can't understand it. He talks about how this entire life seems to contradict the normal order of things. And so he says, a man is given wealth, But he isn't able, he doesn't have the power to enjoy it. Life is hebel, so perplexing. Later on, he'll say, the wicked are allowed into the holy place. Right? It doesn't make sense. It's not how things should be. It's perplexing. It's hebel. Vanity of vanities. And then finally, he uses it also in contrast to things of profit or benefit. He says, on one hand, we have things that are profitable, and on the contrary, things are hebel. They're profitless. They're empty. There's no gain to be had. There's no benefit at all. Hebel. And that way, it's profitless or unbeneficial, empty, in that it brings no lasting gain. Like breath on a mirror, here 1 second and gone the next, like chasing bubbles on the wind. It's why even if you look at some major translations of the Bible today, you'll see this word, hebel, translated differently. You'll see this opening different. In the NIV, it's translated as meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher. Everything is meaningless, giving hebel that idea of profitless, unbeneficial. In the NET, they're translated as futile, futile, absolutely futile. Other translations give emptiness and futility, pointless, utterly pointless, vapor of vapors, and futility of futilities. Even the Message paraphrase kind of gets the idea right here. Smoke, nothing but smoke. And this is where Solomon begins his work, declaring all is empty, breath-like, fleeting, profitless. You say, you know what he needs? He needs a purpose. Perhaps he feels this way just because he hasn't found a purpose. He hasn't tried one of those roads. If he would just pursue something, he would have a purpose and fill his life with meaning. And Solomon's response, what does man gain by all the toil of which he toils under the sun? Solomon's response will be, I have tried everything under the sun, and all is vanity. All is fleeting, profitless, breath-like bubbles on the wind. I can just hear the objectors, but what have you tried, Solomon? Surely you can find some higher purpose if you would just seek knowledge and wisdom. You'll find your purpose and meaning in these things. Pursue that road of knowledge and wisdom, the philosopher and the student. Take the path of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, those great philosophers. After all, this King Solomon fellow, wasn't he? Isn't he been said to have the most wisdom of anyone? The wisest man ever to live, surely he will find purpose and meaning in his wisdom and knowledge. And so we move to Ecclesiastes 1, verses 12 to 18. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. And so here he goes traveling in this road of wisdom, and we know he'll succeed. Wisest man ever to live, and what does he get at the end of his road? I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and is striving after wind. Why? Because what is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a striving after wind. Because his conclusion is this, for in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. His conclusion is, the more wisdom you get, the more vexation. Why? Because the crooked things in life cannot be made straight. Come up with all the philosophy and wisdom and knowledge and theories you want, but crooked things are still crooked. Crooked people are still crooked and still act crookedly. The more knowledge you get, the more sorrow you have. But shouldn't the meaning of life, shouldn't the purpose of life bring fulfillment and peace, not sorrow and vexation? vanity, a striving after the wind. You chase the meaning of life here. You look and think that this is the thing that will bring your life meaning. And you find that there is nothing of substance, nothing to hold on to. It is fleeting. It is meaningless. The purpose of life can't be to simply acquire knowledge. And yet so many people today act as if this is the purpose and meaning of life, or at least they show that that's what they think. Right? Always trying to know a little more, be well informed, sound intelligent in circles, be respected for your knowledge and wisdom, be able to correct others in conversation, know more about the world, politics, sports, economics, fashion, pop culture, music, people who look for meaning and purpose in knowing more than those around them. Those who love to say, actually. But Solomon's been there, the wisest of the wise, and he tells us that to look for purpose and meaning in wisdom and knowledge is hebel. It is breath like chasing bubbles on the wind. Nothing to be caught, because at the end of your journey here, you simply end up with more vexation and sorrow and the realization that the crooked will not and cannot be made straight. This road on the journey to find purpose is simply a dead end. Well, of course, Solomon, you foolish man, you can't find purpose and meaning in something like books. What a fool! Your problem is vexation and sorrow. Well, what you need is to lighten up. Have some fun. You yourself saw that with knowledge and wisdom come vexation and pain, so avoid that. We're only on this earth for a little while, so just have fun. Be comfortable. Live a life of pleasure and ease, a life that is worry-free and full of enjoyment. Instead, find meaning and purpose in pleasure. The purpose of life is pleasure. Live the life of the party animal, of the pleasure seeker, or simply live the life of the comfortable man on his couch. Solomon continues in chapter 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. Solomon's no fool, right? When he realized that the wisdom and knowledge is a dead end, turns around and takes a different road and says, let's try the road of pleasure. And again, as king, he can try pleasure to its max. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, right? Let's drink. My heart still guiding me with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. Skip down to verse 8, and he says, I gathered for myself silver and gold, right? Lots of bling, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, all the entertainment I wanted, both men and women, and many concubines, all the sex he wanted, for the delight of the children of man. I mean, look, he knew how to take a path of pleasure. He's got the money, he's got the entertainment, he's got the sex, he's got whatever he wants. We're told in the midst of this that he made himself bunches of houses. Well, I'm sure he had a house on the beach, head on down, enjoy some time on the sea. Probably went down to the Dead Sea, did some weird floating. I mean, the guy knew what pleasure was like. Vacation homes in every great spot. And yet, all was vanity. Instead of laughter, this is mad. Of pleasure, what use is it? His conclusion here is simply, laughter is mad. Pleasure, what good does it actually do you in the end? But how many people do we see on this path today searching for meaning and purpose and pleasure, whether it's the partier and the frat boy, right, who seeks the peaks of pleasures in alcohol, drugs, sex, partying, or the millions who try to find meaning and purpose in simply living for the weekend? Live to vacation, work and live for the best and finest foods, the best and finest wines, the best and finest clothes and toys and electronics and games. Simply live to have fun and enjoy comfort. And Solomon says, I have sought that life of pleasure and it is empty. There is nothing to gain from chasing the wind of pleasure under the sun. Another road on the journey to find meaning ends in a dead end. There's no lasting purpose to be found in pleasure here under the sun. And the response, of course, is, well, everyone could tell you that hedonism wasn't the answer, oh fool. What you need is a lasting purpose to improve the world around you through hard work. Make a lasting impression on this earth. Give an empire that will be a lasting testimony to yourself. Make an impact on the lives of those people around you. Find a purpose and meaning in being a successful person. Business, work, achievements. Make a name for yourself. And Solomon says, I have traveled that road too. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. The most successful man ever to live here. Verse 9, so I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Right? Solomon says, I worked to the max. I did things that no one had ever done before me. I will leave a lasting name for myself. Accomplish things that no one has ever accomplished before. The greatest achievements in mankind. Surely this will bring purpose and meaning to my life. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Solomon's conclusion, once again, vanity, a chasing after the wind. And boy, do we see people chasing this particular wind today in 21st century America. Perhaps the most popular road to travel today, though it's maybe equal with pleasure. Let your work be your purpose. Right, the workaholic, you need a job where I can advance, a career, make a name for myself, be successful, climb the ladder, and leave a lasting impression on the people who come after me. Solomon says, seeking meaning and purpose on this road is a chasing after the wind, yet another dead end. And you want to ask Solomon, why? Why is it that you feel that all these things bring no lasting purpose? Why is it that these things are just a chasing after the wind? And Solomon says, here's why, because I see three problems in life that just wreck finding any meaning and purpose in these things. And the first and clearest one is death. It continues in chapter 2, verse 16 and following. He says, for the wise, as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance. Seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten, how the wise dies just like the fool. For all your wisdom, you will still die just like the fool next to you. So I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me. For all is vanity and a striving after wind. He continues, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. He says, yeah, so you're successful. You build a huge bank account. You make millions, billions. You create a successful empire. You make a company that thrives. And you're going to die and leave it all to someone else. And who knows if he'll be a fool or a wise man. You make a name for yourself and you too will be forgotten. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. In verse 21, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil, more hebel. Well, on in chapter 3, verse 20. He continues to talk about dead and about death and says, all go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. In chapter 7, verse 15, he says this, in my vain life, Hebel life, I have seen everything there is, a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. He says, not only will we all die, but the righteous man dies and the wicked man lives on. How does this make any sense under the sun? You can imagine a businessman who builds a business, an empire. He works hard and sacrifices, and just as his business takes off, right as it's taking off, he gets cancer and dies and leaves the business to whom? All his work and toil under the sun for nothing. Solomon says, life itself is fleeting. If death is coming for the fool as well as for the wise man, then finding your purpose and wisdom, of what use is it? The second problem he sees with life is suffering. Chapter 3, verse 16. You say, why not just live a life of pleasure, seek pleasure? There's your meaning and your purpose. Solomon looks around and says, moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. In the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. There is no justice. There is only wickedness in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors, there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. And I thought the dead who are already dead more fortunate than the living who are still alive. Solomon says, look, you want to pretend that this life is pleasant? You want to just chase pleasure? But there's suffering, and the suffering is random. The righteous seem to suffer, and the wicked seem to triumph in the courts. It says, how can life's meaning be found in pleasure when there's no guaranteed pleasure in this earth, when suffering comes to us all? Well, you see good people thrown in jail to languish while evil men roam free. Right? You see good people who are poor and broke and are suffering and can barely make it day to day, and wicked men who lie as CEOs of companies. Solomon says, how can you find meaning or pretend there could possibly be meaning in pleasure when it's not even guaranteed to you? When suffering comes. And he says the third problem with life, the third problem with trying to find meaning in this life under the sun, is randomness and chance of it all. Chapter 9, verse 11. Solomon says, again I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. Says, you want to know the greatest problem with trying to find any meaning in this life under the sun? Is that it all just appears random. The fastest man doesn't always win the race. The strongest one doesn't win the battle. The smartest one is in riches. The good man doesn't always have bread on the table. This is life under the sun. Vanity, Hebel, breath-like vapor of vapors. You search for meaning and purpose down these roads, and you run only into dead ends. You make wisdom and knowledge your purpose in life, and you try to acquire knowledge, but you will die just like the fool in the same way, and you may even die before him. You make pleasure your purpose in life, but what profit, what gain does it bring you? What profit is there in just seeking pleasure for your short days in this earth before you die? And besides, you can never even be confident that you'll just experience all are forgotten in time. No one lasts forever. You probably can't even name the great minds in your company that you work in who were there 50 years ago. maybe not even 10 or 5 years ago. All are forgotten in time. No one lasts forever. The details of your life, your personality, your accomplishments will all be forgotten. Likely in a matter of just 2 or 3 generations, no one will know you existed, except maybe a name and a brief description in some dusty old family genealogy. Someone will come after you and do it better. Your name and role will be forgotten. The company will one day fail, the building demolished. This is life under the sun. How about you? What are you living for? Have you made one of these things your purpose? Have you fallen for the American dream that life is about embracing pleasure and ease of life, about working hard and leaving a name for yourself? Are you looking to one of these temporary, fleeting things to give you meaning and purpose and value and worth? Have you been deceived by the world around you that has no idea what the purpose of this life is truly for? And so they wander down dead-end roads, searching for meaning and purpose in this life under the sun, and never realizing that the only lasting meaning and purpose that can be found on this earth comes from over and beyond the sun. Wanting to make a lasting impression on those around you, you will be forgotten. Striving for success, what good is all that money and fame going to do you on your deathbed? Forgotten by your company and your industry, and all your wealth and possessions simply pass on to another human being, and you'll have no control over how they use it, and if they act wisely or foolishly. You're living for pleasure, for comfort, for ease of life? What profit is there in that? Pleasure is a fleeting, temporary, brief feeling, and we live in a world of suffering and chance. What happens when completely out of your control you get sick and all physical pleasure is gone? Where is your purpose in life then? Fleeting breath-like, a chasing after a wind. Try to find your purpose in life in these things. It's like chasing after the wind. It's like trying to catch a bubble just when you think you've caught it. You find that there is nothing actually there. This is the truth of the matter. If life under the sun is all there is, then there is no purpose. Life is hebel. It is fleeting, a chasing after the wind, here today and gone tomorrow. Trying to find the purpose of life on this earth is a futile effort, like trying to catch bubbles. Shocking and sad truth, maybe. Many people, sadly, actually do understand this. They understand that these things are fleeting, and that if this is all that exists in this life, that if life under the sun is all there is, then that this temporary, brief, breath-like life has no meaning and no purpose. There's a survey done of more than 1,000 people and asked, what is the purpose of life? And there was, to be honest, a very even spread of people across the board. Interestingly, in this survey, they posted, you can read all 1,000 plus responses. And I read a good deal of them, maybe 100 plus. A good number said things like, pleasure, you know, just have fun. Pleasure and experiences. My personal favorite in that category was to hug your loved ones and eat bacon. Someone clearly has their priorities straight. At least the hugging their loved ones came. And less, but still a group, said something about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Even one said, we must study philosophy. He said, I am an atheist, but we must study philosophy so we can determine what it is to live a happy life. And then a good deal said, to make our own purpose, we create our own meaning. A large number of people said, to be successful, to make a lasting impression on those around you. Solomon would look at all these groups and say, but all these things are fleeting, breath like vaporous life lived under the sun for ourselves and our purposes. It's just chasing after the wind. But then you had the final group. The last group of people in the survey who Solomon would at least agree with a little bit, though these are the people who said life has no purpose. There is no purpose, no meaning, but you have to act like one anyway. Several people who said this, but I'll read you the rather long response of somebody who gathered it. I don't think life has a purpose, or there is no purpose. Life is meaningless. Life is pointless. There is no purpose. Eventually you die and rot, and that is all there is. You don't go anywhere or do anything, and anyone who ever knew you will either forget or die off, and eventually the whole human race will be killed off. So eventually all great people will be forgotten, so there is really no point to it, except life is all that we have, and it's all that we will ever have, so it might as well be a pleasant experience, even if it's pointless. So if it can't be enjoyable for you, then I believe you should make it pleasant for those around you, because most people don't realize how pointless all this really is. But all we have is this second, this exact moment, we share this exact moment with everyone else in existence. Why cut other people's lives short if it's all they have? There's someone who gets Hebel, a life that is vanity and fleeting under the sun. And yet, even those who say life has no purpose live as if there is one. And if you're living life solely under the sun, then this is all true. So I ask, where are you finding your purpose in life? Because let's be honest, even Christians can fall for these traps, can fall for these lies and these deceptions. If you're putting your focus, your effort, your time, your energy, and they're directed at one of these things, if you're traveling down a road that is simply a dead end, it's time to realize it. It's time for us to wake up to a world that is searching for meaning and purpose, but are looking for meaning under the sun. And this really is the key for Solomon. Life under the sun, lived apart from God, life under the sun is Hebel, vanity, breath-like. It's only when we look over and above and beyond the sun towards God that we start to find anything lasting and meaningful, something where there can be profit and gain. This is where Solomon concludes. Where does he actually find meaning in life? Come back next week to find out. But I'll give you the hint, and he's already given you several hints. That there is no meaning, no order, no logic to this life under the sun unless you recognize a God who made us and gives our life meaning and purpose. And we'll talk about that more next week. But for this week, I want you to dwell on what it means to live under the sun. That even Christians can find themselves deceived in chasing after the wind, trying to find a lasting meaning and purpose and wisdom or pleasure or success or making a name for yourselves or just leaving a lasting impact on those around you. But if this is what you think that life is about, if this is the outlook on life that you find yourself caving into, then I hope you hear Solomon's words that to seek life's meaning and anything under the sun is to chase your whole life running after, chasing up and down hills and mountains with your hand outstretched, trying to grab a bubble. And at the end it pops and you realize there was nothing actually there. Weren't we created for more than this? Isn't the fact that every single one of us is searching for a purpose a hint that maybe there really is one true purpose to life? Because if we really are here just by random chance, why would we ever think that we were here for more? But this is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of the Bible. This is the good news that Scripture tells us that the world around us so desperately needs to hear. That life can have meaning and purpose, but not if you're looking for it under the sun. Not if you're seeking it in wisdom and knowledge and pleasure and work and success. Because then everything is Hebel. A chasing after the wind, breath on a mirror. That's gone. If any of these are your purposes in life, then it's time to take a second look at where your road is heading. For these roads have been driven before, and every one of them is a dead end. Let's pray. O God in heaven, God who created the sun and the earth, We thank you and praise you for making us, for putting within every one of us this idea and desire that we do have a purpose, that there is a reason why we're here. Forgive us, Lord, if we have looked for our purpose and meaning in something under the sun. If we spend our time focused on and striving after things in a way that ignores you and the commands that you've given us, that doesn't realize that to find any lasting meaning, any eternal meaning, we must look to an eternal God. Thank you so much for sending the Son to this earth to share the good news of what our purpose really truly is to be in a relationship with you. Help us to see this world for what it is, Hevel, fleeting and breath-like apart from you. It's in the Son's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand as the worship team closes us in a final song.